Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Love and life in 2025 as only someone who can find his lost cat can. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I am Robert Clark Chan, and I am more responsible with my pets. The ones who, you know, their lives depend on me. I don't lose them.
You know, for the record, I lost my cat literally yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago, I should say, as we record this. And Robert Clark Chan was over at my house that night playing games. Do I know for a fact that Robert Clark Chan didn't intentionally let my cat outside without telling me? I don't know that.
It's a safe bet. I mean, like, if I were you and me were me, then I absolutely would do that as a hilarious prank.
I mean, it's absolutely hilarious to put people's pets in danger. I can only agree with you there, Robert Clark Chan. Yep. Y'all prankster. But we found him. I found him later that day. He didn't leave very far. He was just hiding. Good job, everybody. Anyway, TV's Gina Ippolito is not with us today.
She's on assignment in the depths of Papua New Guinea.
Wait, she's on assignment. Did we demote her to AAA? Is that what happened? Oh, no.
She got traded, yes.
She's the best of us. What are we doing? What is our front office doing?
Two Dominican podcasters, though, that I think are going to be real, real good this season for us.
Oh, man. Some nasty curveballs. But speaking of baseball talent, our special guest today. We have a special guest today, and it's why we chose My Pet Monster as the cartoon, which we will get into momentarily. But for this, we have the president of Van Ryder Games. We have the co-creator of my favorite board game, I'll say it, Final Girl, and former baseball talent, drafted, played. We could hear more about that perhaps in a second. AJ Porfirio is here today. AJ, say hello to the people at home.
Hey, everyone. Excited to be here. Man, I was not expecting a baseball segue, but kudos.
Were you seriously like a professional baseball player?
Yeah, I played a couple of years in the minor leagues in the Toronto Blue Jays organization.
If I had known, I would have gotten us like the worst baseball cartoon out there.
Oh, and you that would be fun. Shreds.
Holy mackerel.
Well, this is just a reason to have him back. That's all.
I was going to say, like, book me for the next one. I'm all
done.
In.
Also, I would have to find one. I mean, we have gone through a lot of cartoons, and I don't think I've ever seen
it. They make a Madballs cartoon. Is that mildly related?
Is that baseball? I thought those were just like weird ass balls.
It's like an eyeball baseball.
I mean, Charlie Brown's the obvious.
Okay.
There's Charlie Brown episodes.
There's for also sure. Pro Stars, which we have already done, and applies only very, very tangentially, because Bo Jackson played football and baseball.
I mean, that is a factual statement. I bet you there's an episode of a terrible show from the 80s or 90s that featured baseball that we could find. Yeah, probably not even that hard to do. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. AJ, if you would like to, I've given the basic outline, but tell people a little bit about what you've got going on, and maybe a moment to tell them about this amazing game called Final Girl.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm AJ Porfirio, like you said, Ray, president of Van Ryder Games, co-creator of Final Girl. We do all kinds of games at Van Ryder Games, but our most well-known, of course, is Final Girl, which is a solo horror board game where you get to play as the final girl in the movie, and you are trying to kill the killer or the slasher before they can kill you. We've got tons of content for this game. Multiple, we call them feature film boxes. Basically, each one has a killer in a location, and everything is mix and match. So you can play, you know, one killer at another location from a different box. It's just a almost infinitely expandable and modular board game system at this point, and yeah, definitely check it out. Our website's vanridergames.com, or really any lots of retail stores and game shops will have it as well. So give it a look and check. If you want to check out our other games, you can also do that at vanridergames.com or just Google Van Rider, and that's Van Rider with a Y. Yeah, so that's it.
Make it happen. Yeah, I was just at a Universal Studios City Walk just today, checking out a comic book store called Things from Another World. It's fantastic if you live around here or don't want to visit. But they were selling the Happy Trails set by itself. No core game with it, unfortunately. So, regrettably, whoever gets that's going to have to go find a core set.
Yes, you do need a core box and a feature film to play. So, maybe... maybe someone had already bought their core box or they didn't get that memo, but hopefully I think maybe their customers will enlighten them when they get home and aren't able to play just that one.
You know, instead of taking a picture of it and just putting it on the, you know, on the Final Girl Facebook group, maybe I should have gone and told management that's the thing they should do. What a responsible person would have done. Yes, probably. Oh,
that's okay. I mean, next time you're over there. So I don't know how often you go over there, but
I go over there a lot.
Yeah.
Look, this is capitalism. So. They need to learn the lesson the hard way.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, no. But we all suffer in that regard, Robert Clark-Chan.
Well, we're under capitalism. So, yes. Yes, we do.
Yes. And I do need to have Robert Clark-Chan stay later at one of our various game nights. And I'll run him through a Final Girl game. That is a promise, Robert Clark-Chan.
That sounds... like I don't have a choice.
No, you probably don't.
Agree about that. Okay. No, that's fair.
Also, me saying those words in a row out loud made it come across real weird. Real weird. And AJ, I mentioned to people on our Discord, if you are a member of our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, you have access to our Discord, which has been getting some use. Wow, it only took like 7 years, but here we are. And I mentioned that AJ was coming on the show. We have fans of you, AJ, and of Final Girl, who had some questions. And I just want to throw a few out there, get us a little warmed up here, and then we'll start talking about My Pet Monster. AJ, what is your favorite board game outside of the Van Ryder Games catalog?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, great question. This one... Oh, what was I thinking about recently? Because I was thinking about, you know what? This game might be my new favorite. Because for the longest time, it's been Gloomhaven. But something has overtaken the throne. And I guess it's not great that I can't think of it right now.
It was so good. About. It blanked your... Was it the Men in Black game?
What is it? All right. I don't know. I'm like totally drawing a blank. But it's going to hit me as soon as we're done with the show, probably. So
no, that's fair. Well, we could say Gloomhaven for now.
We'll use Gloomhaven with a star next to it because I do love Gloomhaven. But I've just, yeah, it's what it's time for something new to take
like
the throne.
Like a 2 second pause, and then we'll just like slot in like apples to apples.
Don't do that to me. I have a reputation to uphold.
No, that's very, very fair. And it's definitely not G.I. Joe Mission Critical. I just want to verify that.
I mean, I'm kind of a fan of those like old 80s. The one from back then that I already told you, Ray, I was a huge Transformers fan. But I don't know if you guys had this, but this Return of the Jedi Sarlacc Pit. Game.
Yeah.
There was this game where you like push the little cardboard guys into the Sarlacc pit. That was that was amazing.
I had a friend that I never myself had it. I had a friend who had it. I went to their house and played it one time, and it was a religious experience. I'll just go ahead and say that. So let's instead of an asterisk, we'll just say that game.
Yeah, there you go. Let's do
that. Was Lord Snurts, by the way, with that question officially. Gotta give him full credit. And now I have two questions here from Mr. M.A. Solko. Here we go. First one, these are two Final Girl questions. Have you considered any expansions that tweak or enhance any pre-existing feature films that are out there right now? I guess Carolyn's Revenge sort of is that.
Yeah, I mean, that already exists. So Carolyn's Revenge and Grandma's Grudge are new character packs is what they are. And they come in the guest stars box, which has all kinds of goodies. But both of those character packs are in there. So one of them is Carolyn, now grown up as a teenager, and she has like honed her psychic abilities, and she can fight the poltergeist and actually do damage, but in this case, psychic damage to the poltergeist, and expel her into limbo instead of the how people are used to playing poltergeist, which is to find Carolyn when she was little and get her out. And then Grandma's Grudge is a similar thing where it takes Grandma from the Once Upon a Full Moon feature film, which features the Big Bad Wolf, and Red and Gretel are the final girls. And now Grandma is a playable final girl. And the catch with Grandma is she only has one health, right? She's older and she cannot move quite as fast. So you take the sprint cards out. She has some other movement cards and some different things that she can do. So we've expanded how you can kind of interact with everything. And both those character packs are fully playable with any killer at any location. So it's still upholding kind of the modularity aspect.
Okay. That's absolutely fantastic. And I guess I could have answered that.
Well, no, that's fine. Cause I mean, we're always thinking of stuff outside of even that stuff too. So, I mean, just keep following along with us, and we're all about kind of bringing different ideas and things to the forefront for this game. So you'll never know what you see.
I love it. And this other one, I think I understand he's using lingo. Witch killer / final girl ship is your OTP, one-time password, Mr. Sulco? I don't understand
one
that.
What is it? One true...
Promance.
Partnership? What's the word?
One true. Is he trying to get special passwords? I don't understand.
It's like who's your favorite couple?
Which couple between a killer and a final girl are meant to be together? I gave what I thought the correct answer was, but I'm curious.
One true pairing, I think that's what
my pairing just has to be Hans and Laura from the initial set, because the card is there. It's me. He's always wanted me. It's right there on the card. I have a hard time finding a bond stronger than that between anybody.
Yeah. Wow. It's an interesting question, one I've never gotten before.
Finally.
I mean, another one you could go with is the Evomorph and Ellen, right? Like,
very fair.
It's something I think a lot of people connect with. Dr. Fright, Nancy. I mean, yeah, for me, like, I don't know if they're asking like what my specific opinion is. Don't know. I think
let's go with that. I mean, Red and the Big Bad Wolf, I think, are pretty well paired as well.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yep, Red and the Big Bad Wolf. I mean, even Gretel still fits that kind of nicely.
Yeah, true.
So anyway, yeah, that's good stuff.
There it is. All right. Well, those are the questions from our audience. And if you want to get involved, you can always go on our Discord, which is our Knowing is Half the Podcast secret Discord, available to patrons of the show. And I do have a new text channel called Ask a Host, and you can just post your questions on there or just talk about Magic the Gathering tournaments. I guess I don't know what you guys are doing with it, but it's
look, I don't have Facebook anymore. I took off Instagram, Threads, all of it, so I gotta get my jollies. That's probably not the word I want, but that's the
probably
word
not no I'm uncomfortable now
somewhere, and it's going to be apparently on Discord.
There it is. If you would like to communicate with Robert Clark Chan, the literal only way left, go on our Discord.
No, I'm on Blue Sky. Add me there. I'll
As I said, go. More people are on our Discord than Blue Sky Chan. What are you talking about?
That's fair.
All right. Let's talk about my pet monster. See, AJ, we wanted to get something quote-unquote horror-related. I like keeping it on brand. When we have you on any of our shows, and this is the best we could do.
Weirdly, there are not a lot of children's cartoons based on murder properties. I'm just going to call it, instead of just horror, murder. Murder. There are some. We've already done Rambo.
Well, good job finding something that made me want to murder people. Great job, guys.
Yeah, no, that's the show. That is what the show is. Just know if you guest on this show, you will be given something and you'll want to claw your eyes out.
I mean, that is the truth. Look, my pet monster, I vaguely remember the toys this was based on. This was in the, I believe, the My Buddy era that brought us, you know, the Child's Play movies. And then this is just one of those. It's just my pet monster.
See, there was a beautiful thing when, like, maybe the one good thing Reagan did was made it so that toy companies could make cartoons. And you got G.I. Joe. You got Transformers. This is amazing. And then the flip side of that coin is My Pet Monster.
AJ, did you own a My Pet Monster back in the day?
I did not own one of these, and I don't know if this came across my, you know, to me when I was a kid. I don't remember it if it did. So when I pulled this up, it felt new to me, but a little bit of it does feel like, okay, I think I saw this somewhere.
Someone at school had one of these at some point.
I mean, it's got to have been, right? So, yeah, and I will just say for the record, I am sorry for doing this to you.
Yeah, I think what did I send you? I was like, I thought you liked me, Ray.
That is correct. That was your immediate comment when you started watching it.
No, if you get an invite on the show, it is quite the opposite.
That is true. Look, if we hated you, we would give you something really good and fun and entertaining to watch.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It is a testament to how strongly we like you that you get something like a My Pet Monster, which, Chan, how would you describe this monster? And do you have any sound clips of just what he sounds like talking? Because,
I mean, he just looks like a friggin' popple with horns. It's, you know, he's still cute, which is partly why the show's so garbage, because they're not taking any risks. It's just like, well, it's still got to be cute so that, you know, people will still buy the doll. And then they just, like, who cares what he does in the show.
So as usual, we were not watching the first episode. That would be way too easy. Robert Clark Chan picked the second episode to make sure we had no pilot-esque explanations walking into this thing.
Would it have helped? Do you need to know this? The big guy is chasing the little guy for reasons. They're trying to hide the alien because that's all kids ever do in any of these movie shows or whatever, mm-hmm. is hide the alien, even though they just pop up in front of cops and there doesn't seem to be an issue. So who cares? There are no stakes.
That's the thing that bothered me about this show is they're trying to do Alf, but with like a bigger monster chasing the little monster. Right. And it's just Alf. They're trying to, the neighbors can't find out. The parents can't find out. I guess it's not Alf, but the point I'm trying to make is E.T., I guess. There you go. But through all of this, they make no effort to conceal the monster in public in any possible way.
Yeah, he's like dancing around for like a while and they're like, oh gosh, we better go get him or he's going to get found out. Like,
while they're in line for tickets. So they're like, we could wait in line for tickets. Hold on. I'm going to think this through first while the monster's across the street dancing and is drawing an enormous crowd. Okay, hold on. Tickets or go save the monster. Okay, I'm going to drop a pros and cons list. Let me go get my whiteboard. Meanwhile, cops and helicopters are showing up across the street. I feel
the kid's like, this is more important than tickets. We gotta go save
until they save him, and then they can't get tickets, and they're like, nothing was more important than these tickets.
Exactly.
But we are getting way ahead of ourselves. Chan, I need to hear a little bit of this theme song, and we need to determine as a group whether this is a banger or not.
He's always playing scary tricks, but I know that's okay. Because he's just having lots of fun in his own monster way. He loves to munch on garbage. He'll even eat the can. If this sounds gross, please understand.
He's my best friend.
All right. Real quick, they just rhymed can with friend, and I can't get on board with that.
Can't get behind that one.
That is a slant rhyme too far.
I don't want to speak for the group. But either of you, please step up and tell me if I'm wrong. Decidedly not a banger.
Yeah. So thank you, first off, for playing, I think, what was maybe a quarter or one fifth of the whole full song. Because that thing went forever. And I was like,
we're not going to do that.
I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it through this thing.
Oh my God. So yeah, we have a kid. We have a monster. There's elements. There's a nosy next door neighbor.
Hold on. Right at the beginning, there was one more thing that irritated the shit out of me.
What's that?
They're just straight ripping off the Addams Family for no reason. It's not like it's a ripoff of the Addams Family property or anything. There's no characters in it that are like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like Uncle Fester or something. They're just like, we can't be bothered to do anything with the song. Let's throw in a sample of the friggin' Addams Family.
And that might be, I don't know what that sound is, but whatever that is, this might be responsible for that sound never having occurred since this opening. Because wah, 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 whatever that is.
Like a synthesized tuba? I don't know. It was very upsetting.
I was just, I was listening to Ace of Base, The Sign.
Of course you were.
2 days ago. And I was fully irritated by the synths on that because like synth sounds can be really cool and really interesting and you can do all sorts of stuff with them. But if you're just making a cheap synth sax sound in like whatever that was, like 92, when we definitely had the technology to do better, and you just have like shitty synth sax, just like that's supposed to sound like a sax, but kind of really doesn't in any way sound like a sax. It just feels like an assault on the senses.
Right. I mean, look, we had the technology, Chan, but we didn't have the will. I think that was part of the problem.
Or the money. It was like, you know what? We could spend like an additional like $500 to get the actual good synth sax pack. Nah, we're fine. We're good.
So as we crack open this egg of an episode, this is one of the most convoluted stories I think we've ever dealt with on this show. And we just watched Robotech. I mean, I'm going to break down the basics of the plot. And I swear to God, I'm the person who couldn't follow Legion. Okay. Just understand this very famously. I don't get it. Chan, you know this. We watched it together. The point I'm trying to make is here's what happened in this show. The basic idea is that there are a group of kids and a monster and they're his friend, but they're trying to not let the world know about him. Meanwhile, a bigger monster chases him. Great. That's our starting point.
An amazing clubhouse. And so they're like, I don't know if they're supposed to be super rich or it's just like that childhood fantasy of like, oh my God, we could have a treehouse with like a pole and like, you know, like swinging this and that.
Best part of the whole episode was when they have this thing in their treehouse where it like opens into a slide and the fence even like tilts and they're like slide down and they're like on the sidewalk on the other side of the fence.
It's like
that was like my favorite.
Yes, the bike just blazes out like you're friggin' the Batmobile.
Yeah,
you guys, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I know. I was like, oh, that's badass.
Okay, we're going to the treehouse now. We're going to give them points for the cool ass bike ramp.
Yes,
and that's it. I cannot honestly condone anything else that happens in this cartoon.
Basically, yeah.
So the kids are in a werewolf club, okay, and they're making their own costumes to dress like wolfmen. And I went, oh, okay, so we're like Halloween adjacent. No, idiot. They like a band called the Wolfmen who don't even themselves dress like werewolves on stage. And so they need to go to the concert with these costumes on. But lo and behold, the president of the fan club, Jill, forgot to buy any tickets to the show. And okay, that's our first half of the plot, okay? Because it gets wilder from there. But just in this opening setup here, she makes a costume for the pet monster that, near as I can tell, is just a burlap sack. What is he wearing?
Well, it's not done yet. There's clothespins in it. There's safety pins.
It's just a piece of brown canvas on his chest. I mean, it's nothing.
There are eyeglasses. I'm looking at this thing right now. There are eyeglasses, and I do not understand how that relates because none of the nothing Wolfmen don't wear spectacles.
I've never once seen a wolfman with a vision problem. Sorry, AJ, go ahead.
And we're gonna the big guy, the beaster or whatever.
That's
the worst name ever. I think they were going for monster, but with a beast, right? So beaster.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Also,
he has like blues.
I started calling him Beastly, and then I didn't realize to the very end that I just messed it up.
Yeah, he's running around with glasses also, and they're like blues blockers looking like, I don't know what they are, but I was like, what?
That's from his office job where he has to look at a computer monitor all day.
Right.
That monster's name is Beaster, Beast with U-R at the end of it. The monster is monster, just monster.
Right. Every once in a while, what they call him something, Monzi?
Monster. Yeah. Well, no, that's Jill specifically. I think that's her like pet nickname because like.
Oh, that's not confusing.
Yeah.
Not even.
So he is a monster. His name is Monster. We call him Monsty. Perfect. Perfect.
Well, no, he said her nickname was Monzi.
Oh, everything about this.
So see, you're already confused.
Yeah. 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 Oh.
You guys, I said before we started recording, I am 9 ways brain broken today. I've been out in the sun. I have no chance. And then I sat down to watch My Pet Monster an hour ago, and I'll tell you, got no chance today.
Oh, I'm so glad I did it last night because I needed time to recover.
To sit with it, to like feel your thoughts, see if how it's changed your life. I get it.
That's why, not because I would have come on this show and just been throwing expletives and like,
you don't want
super angry at you guys.
That makes sure I sent you the link a few days ago.
Every fifth episode or so, that is what we end up doing.
Okay.
That is correct. Yes, that's very fair. Now look, on top of all of the madness, they have a next door neighbor called Mr. Hinkle and his poodle named Princess. And they extra want to make sure he doesn't find out about it because he's suspicious something's up and he's very, very fancy and just sits in a deck chair in his backyard facing the treehouse all day. I would call the cops. I would call the cops on this guy.
Yeah, there's no swimming pool or anything like that. You might be like, oh, well, maybe he has a pool or like something else. No, it's just a giant backyard with nothing in it.
Drawing a pool costs money.
I'm pissed because Mr. Hinkle shows up and I'm like, all right, this is the guy who's mad at the kids because he's an old man, blah, blah, blah. I'm probably going to be on his side because like if you watch like Dennis Fair. The Menace, oh my God, Dennis is a fucking asshole. And Mr. Wilson like is just trying to get through life. The older I get, obviously, I'm going to be more on the old dude side. But I think even as a kid, I understood that Dennis needed to be wiped off the face of the earth. So coming into this, I'm like, well, Mr. Hinkle is probably going to be fine. Turns out, no, he's a fucking creep, too. I'm mad that the show makes me hate him, but.
It is because the kids are up in their treehouse and I was trying to figure out what this is. This is a beaster alarm. I finally figured out that they were working on that just blows a whole bunch of noise and then cuts like shorts the power because you could apparently in this treehouse that's fully wired with electricity. You could just plug things into the wall up there. This is the greatest treehouse in history.
That is amazing.
I mean, plus the escape slide. Are you kidding me right now? And they're like, yay, we did it. Success. I guess. Congratulations. So this is where we find out the concerts tonight for this band we've never heard of before. Our president of the fan club forgot to buy the tickets. It's day of the event. Afternoon of the event. She suddenly now realizes I never bought tickets. I don't think she should be president of this fan club anymore. I'll say it.
This is not the worst offense musically in this episode. As bad as they are as fans, the band itself is an order of magnitude worse.
Oh, I'm gonna disagree with you. I think the band, I think the song they were playing, I thought they were talented musicians. I thought they had a good riff working. I think what they choose to do with their lead vocalist is suspect.
This is
I mean, are we going to talk about the audition, or are we just going to blow right past that?
We got a couple scenes before the audition, but trust me, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. And then I just wrote it all caps. You could bike out of the treehouse? Oh my God. it was the best thing that happened in this episode.
That was 100%.
But Mr. Hinkle, who's already suspicious, he says, I know there's a monster up there. One of the kids wearing their werewolf costume sort of leans out the window, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, F, it's a monster werewolf. Oh, wow. And yet just sits on that information.
No, that is the point where I'm like, never mind. Mr. Hinkle's an idiot. He sees a child wearing a homemade werewolf costume. I was like, well, clearly this is the alien monster that I have been seeking my entire life.
My reaction mirrored yours, Robert, for sure.
And then he's like some weird tantric pose with his dog, which, you know, fair enough. You know, like you get a certain age, you're single, you do what you gotta do, I guess.
You think Mr. Hinkle's single? Because I 100% felt that same vibe.
100%.
Men with families don't have time to sit in their backyards and stare at tree houses full of children.
Isn't the dog like a poodle also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on. Definitely single. Oh, no offense. God. Any poodle owners out there. Don't send me nasty grams.
Nothing wrong with a poodle. But when you do the thing where you like shave all of them, except the weird little ruffs and like that's a different thing entirely.
So that will be my one suggestion for a future final girl, is add a Mr. Hinkle victim card, who clearly sees the monster and refuses to do anything at all. He just stays where he is till you kill him.
We'll make a miniature and he'll be sitting in his lawn chair just looking.
Just sit in a lawn chair at any location, including the Merrick warehouse.
Ah, there's the monster, but it won't be the real monster. It'll be like some weird like kid with a Halloween mask.
It'll just be a kid in a Halloween mask. Yes. I mean, here's the deal. This is gold. I'm glad we're recording this. We get to the show. Yes, the show ends up being sold out when they get there to buy tickets. They say to themselves, go ahead first. They're just there. I mean, and then the monster starts. Okay. A lot of stuff. Okay. This is the second half. This is the middle of the episode. The monster escapes before getting his costume finished and just leaves and goes to the park across the street from the concert venue and starts dancing rock and roll on the top of a park bench. And everybody's like, this guy's cool, man.
Ray, have you yet had to explain the concept to your 7-year-old child of a boombox? Because I have, and it is awkward.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because literally yesterday and today, I showed my kid how to operate a record player. Does that count? Because I had my record player on. And I had it up, and I was listening to my vinyl of the Fallout TV show soundtrack, because I'm that guy. Fair. And it had finished playing. The needle was at the middle of the record. And my kid walks over and is like, what's this? And she drags the needle across the record in a way that I immediately leapt out of my chair and dove at her.
Oh, gosh.
I said, please don't do that.
This is... this is full on Mr. Wilson is what this is.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Like a record player is something that people still engage with.
Okay.
Like,
that's fair.
We'll get
that's
fine.
Fair.
We'll do that. Like a boombox, it just doesn't exist anymore. As far as I can tell.
It's just, like it's just in this episode of My Pet Monster and Star Trek 4. I think that's it.
And you have to explain. Okay, first off, kid, Vulcans. All right, here's the deal with Vulcans.
It's easier to explain Vulcans than it is a boombox.
Second, whales, time travel, concept of pills. Okay, and then boombox. Also, that guy shows up in Picard later on. All of this you'll get to. There's a lot of Star Trek to cover, my child. We'll do it all eventually.
So I feel like if you guys are done with the boombox, at this point.
It'll be back. It'll be back.
You know what? We should be. So let's just move on.
I have to say, I've never in my life looked forward to a YouTube ad, but when the first YouTube ad popped up, I was like, oh my God, thank God. I was like, I might actually watch this whole ad. Like, never have I ever considered not skipping when available or like being like, oh, a YouTube ad, yay. But this show did that to me. So I had to mention that.
I'm in tears.
And it happened twice. Thank God. The second one. It's like even better.
It's helpful.
See, now I regret paying for YouTube Premium. Am I the only one out there? So they say there must be a way to get tickets when you don't have tickets. And my first note is like, are they going to mug somebody? Are they going to attack someone in an alley and steal their physical tickets? Because that would be awesome.
No, what they did makes way more sense.
No, what they did... Because this is a very famous band called the Werewolves, and they have a show tonight at the concert venue, but they don't have a lead singer.
What? Isn't that how music bands normally tour? They get guest auditions for their lead singer the day of the show.
So day of the show, they have an audition notice posted and they say, hey, if the monster who cannot sing gets this gig. He can barely function. If he gets this gig as the lead singer of this famous band for one night only tonight, we'll get free tickets and solve our much smaller problem based on the lengths they would have to go through. This is like a Lucasfilm game from 1991. This is a Monkey Island sequel. This is insane. And I loved it. This was just surreal. So the monster goes into the room where there's like, I don't know, 8 to 10.
But wait, didn't the monster
people.
didn't he get chased by like Beaster first at some point?
Yes. Beaster shows up like the goddamn Terminator. There's like wind in the alley and cats running away. And then he's just happens to be there and they're getting away from the cops and then just like smack, boom, right in the back of him.
So I got to talk about this because I don't know if you guys caught this.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, so it's like the monster and the two kids are like running, right? Yeah, and they're ahead of the Beaster guy and he's chasing them. So one of the kids like looks at him and says, okay, do the blah, blah, blah move, whatever. So like one of them like cartwheels away.
Oh,
and
yes.
And then like the second kid cartwheels away. And then, and the other two, the Beaster and the monster, they just keep running like nothing happened. And then like the monster cartwheels away and the Beaster just acts like this is just a huge surprise. This just happened. Like he didn't notice the other two kids do it.
He's not even grabbing them. They just sort of are walking slowly in front of him. You're right. I skipped over this scene. I guess I wanted to be done fast. Yes. Because Beaster follows up, AJ, I'll tell you this, because the first they very lazily cartwheel stage right and somehow break free and get away. Beaster right. tries to cartwheel after them and like crashes into a bush or something.
Right.
He crashes into the bench.
There you go.
Yeah, I feel like this is episode two. It's entirely possible in episode one, they establish some set of rules wherein Beaster must... exactly follow like Simon says, you know, monster in order to catch him and to bring him back to the other dimension or whatever. But I really don't think that's the case. Nothing else in the show suggests that they have formed this level of logic. It's simply he's dumb.
Now, AJ, I know you're on Central Time over there. But I think after we finish recording this episode, we all got to go together, watch episode one and run it back second time.
Okay. Oh yeah.
We gotta answer
I'll definitely
question.
See you there.
Then a cop shows up and they literally, when there's the monster is dancing on this park bench, they're like, we got to get him out of there before they realize he's a real monster. This is a 3'6" bestial looking blue and pink monstrosity that can barely talk. Nobody could figure out that's a monster, but Mr. Hinkle sees a child wearing a plastic mask and thinks that he's suddenly in werewolf apocalypse.
Oh, gosh.
What is happening in this world?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Hi, I'm Devin Whitmire. People from South Carolina, like myself, are proud of their state, but even we don't know every nook and cranny or every piece of culture or history. To explore places that are off the beaten path, you have to talk to the people there, because their stories, their ideas, make everything come together. From Discover South Carolina, it's the Palmetto Porch. To learn more, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
My pet monster.
He's bigger than big.
When he fights battles, he always wins.
And he's your friend, too.
He breaks his chains.
Put him on you and break away, too.
With my pet monster, you're busting loose.
He's big.
And scary.
And helps people, too.
And he's your friend, too.
My pet monster plays all day.
Tough.
Awesome.
Looking great.
And all your friends will want him for their friend, too.
My pet monster has breakaway chains from Amtoy and American Greetings Company.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, look, now we're at the singer audition. You're right. I should not have skipped that. That was golden. Monster walks in. A bunch of people are there. He scares them all out of the room by revealing the fact that he's a monster.
So they all get that he's a monster.
In 2 seconds.
The cop showed up, looked at them. The two of them were holding him up in the air, rubs his chin, and then lets him walk away.
Yeah. But well, and half of the people that were going to audition are like, some of them are in street clothes and like the other half are like dressed as monsters. I'm like,
yeah,
what is even?
These like, are what? All of these auditioners are gnarlier than the, oh my God, I'm looking at it now. There's a fucking bee. There's a fucking 18 inch high bee sitting in this chair with his arms crossed. He's got a stinger. He's got wings. He's got antennae. And he runs away because he's afraid of that monster.
Oh my God.
They just scram. And then it's just him sitting there. Of course
they go for the tryout and he's the only one that showed up apparently. Right. And he, we're going to, Chan, please. I need you to play some of this song.
Oh,
obviously we have to hear it, for the people at home need to hear this. I have my description of what he sounds like is he sounds like a wounded deer who's stuck to a barbed wire fence. That's the closest I got. I don't know. Before we play it, my second note, he's terrible. Holy shit. Like shockingly bad. What did you guys feel about his performance before we play it?
I'll just say, if you guys have any like ads in your podcast, put it right before this.
You know what, AJ? We're going to put an ad right now.
We're absolutely not going to put that ad right now.
And we're back. How dare you, Robert Clark Chan? We are back. I actually did it. I did it right and on time. How dare you? We'll find out.
For the record, I run this thing through Adobe Premiere, so it gives me like a transcription.
Oh,
machine
excellent.
Transcription. So it's not great, but just so you know, the lyrics as transcribed for this song, and I don't think they're too far off. Up, up, up. Up, up, up. Up, 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 up. Now. Up, up, up. Up, 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 up. Whoa. Up. Yeah. Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is classic.
High level.
Who doesn't love that?
It's Monster!
I want someone with a hunting rifle to go put him out of his misery. He's in pain. I will say, listening to the back, I would see, this is why I say this band is talented. That is a decent riff that you could work with. But if you have a monster howling in pain, not on the beat, not in rhythm, just whatever time stamp he chooses, just over the top of whatever this group of talented musicians is doing, this is how you get the greatest rock song to have ever happened.
I will say that in some ways they are ahead of their time, because you can go on YouTube right now and find Death Metal Cat, Death Metal Goat, any sure. number of death metal animals, and they'll like take an animal like going like yeah yeah, and then like you know put a track behind it, and it kind of sounds like legit you know music. This does they, not.
They at least try to sync it up with auto-tune or something, though.
Yes. I mean, yes. This is just the laziest form of that, albeit 20 years early. So,
and but you know, because we live in a crazy land, he gets the job, and they get all the free tickets.
Well, he was the only one.
Tickets. He was yeah. the only one.
I guess that's true.
But they loved him. They did love him. I was like, okay. Yeah.
I would have gone with no lead singer. I'm just putting it out there. Sure.
I mean, let the guy with hair all over his face sing, yeah. whoever that guy was.
Let that guy go, yeah.
It was like a Cousin It homage or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I remember this being a segment of My Pet Monster. They put handcuffs on the monster, and he turns into a tiny stuffed toy.
Yes, deeply erotic.
Because the monster came with handcuffs on him.
Uh-huh.
In the box.
Right. Very
and
hot.
He took him off to unleash him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why I'm into bondage today.
Jesus Christ. It's like they were like, hey, this has to sell the toy, so we have to put some kind of scene in here showing what these handcuffs are for.
Yeah.
And so they just like added that in, and they just like magically he like breaks them later, and then they just magically put themselves back together.
They're
pretty cool.
Magic handcuffs. I get like there's got to be a note from corporate after each script comes in. Is like, did you include the BDSM? Did you put the BDSM in our children's show? It's mandated once per episode.
They could have done this when the cop was there, and it would have made sense.
Oh, but those aren't magical handcuffs, Chan.
They did this in front of the band. The band saw them.
They did.
And it basically did exactly what they didn't want. They recognize it as some sort of alien monster.
Yes.
Why would the cop suspect him? It was obviously just like a kid in a costume on a random day. Like, it made sense, you know, right?
The way kids have fully realized the modern monster costumes on random Thursdays in the park.
In much the same way that we would just go on fucking StubHub if we couldn't get tickets. Like, yes. Things were different back then. It was a different time.
It's true.
The olden days.
Yeah, Ticketmaster hadn't taken over yet. Some would call this better.
Honestly, as much as I hate Ticketmaster, I do not want to. I cannot live in this little monster world.
This is a step too far. Well, they deliver the free tickets to the girl, the president. Her name is what? Jill. There we go.
I believe.
And
I'm unclear how many people are in this club, because she says the girls in the club, but mm-hmm. we only ever see one other girl. And I'm unclear if the two boys are also part of this fan club.
They're wearing the costumes at the end, so I think so. But then, because we're not in a weird enough place in this episode, the kids, and I don't remember this being brought up until they said it. Hey, we're going to turn our Beaster alarm into a light and sound escapade show for the concert tonight.
In addition to not having a singer, they do not have tech.
They have no tech, apparently.
Well, luckily for us, these kids are like pro sound producer, you know, soundboard.
AJ, it turned out that they are not very good.
I just
wrote here, you guys, I think this episode is starting to strain its credulity.
Part of the reason why I hate this so much is because it like trivializes the work that a band, that musicians or artists of any kind put into what they do. Like, if you're a touring band, the idea that you would just go around, find a lead singer every once in a while, Who needs anyone? All you have to do for sound and lights is just flick a switch, right? Like, you're going into your garage, you flip on your garage light, and then
you have a full on audiovisual production. And as someone who spent years and years in the tech booth, I am fucking furious that they would show my people up like that. It's hard work that we do up there.
So look, the tour manager and agents need to be fired immediately. Like, they have failed on every level of this tour because there's no tech, there's no lead singer, there's not a, but they have comfortably, conservatively, 9,000 speakers piled on top of each other, 10 stories high on the stage at any given time.
And it's entirely possible that this was what inspired Fugazi. They're like, oh, well, we could do this, right? And charge $5 a ticket because we just don't have singers or light people, or, you know, we'll just have our fans like card in our amps. There you go.
Look, unless you have fighting digital dragons appearing above the scene, like in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, this type of setup will not work.
Indeed.
I'll just say it right now. And you know what? Amy, the other girl in the fan club, walks in, and apparently she's in the club, but doesn't know he's a monster. She's apparently a narc because they do not trust her with this information.
Well, she's just the Wolfman fan club, completely separate from these people who have some sort of weird alien thing going on in their tree house.
Yes, but thankfully, much like everybody else, she just says, and for reasons I cannot understand, she walks in the door, sees this fully realized monster, and her first thought is, oh, you're the one who won the audition to be the lead singer of the Wolfmen tonight. Obviously, you'd be here in our treehouse with a bunch of children instead of getting ready for your show.
Can I have your autograph?
Can I have your autograph?
No. She was on the Wolfmen's Discord and knew about the show immediately and who they got for the singer. So totally normal. Totally legit.
Yeah, because
I did like how he just ate the pen and paper.
Yeah.
She's like, can I have your autograph? He just eats it.
Eats it. Nope. Nothing to see here. That's just rock star behavior. Obviously.
She's like, oh, you're so cool. You're so rock star.
I love that they got a press photo of the monster to add to all the posters in town immediately.
Look, who doesn't carry around their headshot?
As
that's
you
very
do.
Normal behavior for whatever town this is. I assume North Hollywood.
It better be Los Angeles, because that's the only place that makes sense. And then beyond all of this, we add another level to it because there's not enough going on. We're only like not even halfway through the episode right now. We're going to add another game, which is every time the monster gets nervous, he gets the hiccups and can't perform.
Oh, God, I had blocked that out.
Yeah, so Amy says, what's it like to play in front of zillions of fans? Immediately, monster gets nervous and starts hiccuping repeatedly. And they have a new problem they have to solve because this isn't going enough places.
There is so much plot in this 22-minute episode.
Because
the Beaster is like going to set up traps at the concert. And then we go to the commercial break.
Yeah, and then Beaster is like the D plot of this episode. He shows up and gets dispatched like 10 seconds later every time. It's wild because they're like the kid. What's his name? The kid whose
Nobody
name
knows.
I have written right here, Max, of course, is a little blonde kid named Max. That makes sense. He's hanging out. He's hanging out in his bedroom with the monster, and mom comes, and the monster has to hide under the bed, and she sees his feet sticking out from under the bed. Again, a fully realized ankles and feet of a real monster. And she goes, what's that? He goes, slippers.
Yeah, there's like claws on the end of them coming off. Like, in no way does it look like slippers. Yeah,
it's Chucky slippers, so that's totally normal.
Well, it's Chucky slippers, so you know.
And also, she says,
that Chucky sure is strange.
So that's, there you go.
Yep. You know, Chucky might be strange, Mom, but Max has his slippers under his own bed, so maybe ask a few more questions.
Yeah, but I mean, can we be real? Like, this is the 80s, right? Like, they didn't pay attention. It was like, oh, you're safe? Okay, cool.
Well, then we have the problem that she's there in the first place. Should have been like, look, I'm going to be at work. I'll be home Thursday. There's snacks in the fridge.
That's why she's like, what are you doing in here? Like, why are you in here?
I have a child?
In your bedroom.
Yeah. Just playing with these golden handcuffs with my best friend, Chuck. Don't worry about it.
Fine. No, I did not even consider that my pet monster was secretly a cunning and deep portrayal of boomer parenting.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Here's the thing. We just jumped in at episode two when it's very clear throughout the rest of the series, as you see.
Interesting. So. Okay. Okay. So they have to scare away the hiccups, which I forget how, but they do. So we're back at the treehouse. It doesn't matter. And no. The kids have all put on their werewolf costumes. And I asked the question, is this the inception of furry culture?
I feel like we've seen this happen in a few cartoons previously, and I don't recall which came first. This is like 1988 or something. Let's see. My Pet Monster was created in 86. The show was from 87. It was only 13 episodes. So I feel like we can go earlier than that on the furry thing. The handcuffs. I mean, that's definitely something that was added to furry culture from this.
The handcuffs. But also, they all, for some reason, incorporated knee pads into their werewolf costumes. I don't remember werewolves traditionally wearing a lot of knee pads.
Wait, what?
Kids got knee pads on, Chan.
Well, I'm looking at these pictures, and they have weird-ass, cheap werewolf feet, but I don't see any knee pads.
All right, look, I found some knee pads. Now I'm going to have to go back and prove to myself.
Whoa, this is an uncomfortably tight costume on the girl. This is not a thing that the boys have, but the suit is like fully up her crack on her butt. That's weird.
Oh, thank God something weird finally happened in this episode.
That Chucky sure is a weird one.
that Chucky's a problem. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it now. Interestingly enough, my pet monster is dressed up in a rock and roll white tiger striped zoot suit. But he has a safety pin that holds it together on his shirt.
It's a little glam. It's a little early 80s punk. He's got spike bracelets. Wearing those,
he's got
glasses.
Spiky red, like rooster hair.
Yeah, it's a mohawk, definitely.
And as they're pulling up, he rolls down the window in order to, I don't know, reasons. And then he sees all the fans and immediately starts freaking out, and he gets the hiccups back again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Beastly, that's what I call him, Beastler. Beastor, Beaster. He shows up looking like Mr. X from Resident Evil 2. Which, you know what? I don't want to take that away from him. That's absolutely fantastic. And I want to say, there we go. If you go to Chan,
I see.
There you go.
They put on knee pads separately. And I'm unclear why.
Why? Why do they need turtle shell from Mario knee pads?
Hold up. That click was definitely the manacles.
Look, Mom. No cabinets. All set? You bet. Let's howl.
I played that because I was like, I got to watch this thing and see if they explain, like, we need this so that when we go fight the bad guy for some reason, we're prepared. They're just putting it on for shits and giggles.
Yeah. Fake teeth. Knee pads for your werewolf costume, masks with giant rubber noses on them like Bozo the Clown, for reasons, again, I'm unclear as to the design choices here. And also, yes, magic manacles to a rock and roll show in case we need them.
I mean, the knee pads are additional evidence for the furries theories, I will say.
It is. I'm looking at it. Because I'm like, there's got to be some other reason. This can't just be a weird fetish thing. It's only a weird fetish thing. There's nothing. There's no other reason.
Thankfully, Mr. Hinkle shows up walking his poodle and sees, oh no, it's not one werewolf, two actual live physical werewolves. What's sad is he's the closest one to getting it in the whole town and nobody knows it.
They're skateboarding. We now have an answer. Thank God.
Oh, they skateboard to the show. Of course they do. It's 1987.
No helmets. They put on knee pads, which like, oh, cool. You're going to like be an 80s cartoon. It's like, remember, kids, you should wear safety gear the whole time. You're doing your bicycling and your skateboarding. It's just knee pads.
That's all you need to be safe, Chan, obviously. Also, I appreciate that Mr. Hinkle brought a net with him to walk his poodle in case he finds a monster. And then he finds a monster and then promptly poops himself and runs away like a ghost hunter show.
Well, the poodle tied him up.
Which I assume
is what he wanted. I assume that's he's got a safe word and everything's cool. But
okay. So again, we don't have enough wrinkles in this episode. I've never seen a writing staff think our initial premise, as batshit as it is, just isn't going to be enough. It's not enough that we have a famed rock and roll band with a monster leading it and the perils that come with that. We add another layer to it because Beastar has set up a trap door trap. So I don't know how he built. Did he install it or was it already there and he discovered it? This is a working theater with a backstage area, and there is now a trap door in the center of all these dressing rooms.
The hallway.
And like, it must have already been there, and because there are like four switches on the wall to operate it.
You got a lot of divas in this business, okay? And like, sometimes you just got to deal with them.
He just got there. He cannot have possibly dug out the basement. Installed important, complex mechanical and contraption. I don't know. Look, everything about this upset me. Especially because I had a feeling where it was going to go, and then it did, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
There's a backstage in the dressing room. There's a poster for Zeppelin 2, which I assume is a Zeppelin cover band. A poster for Rock Emot Emu. So
I was wondering about that one. Yes.
Possibly an emu, possibly a band dressed up like emus because that's just a thing in this world. Wolfman, emus. There's a poster for Rocks, possibly a band, possibly just a genre poster.
Possibly just their enjoy the geological concept.
And I can't tell if the picture on here are rocks or a penis.
Look, I know AI pictures didn't exist back in 1987, but based on this episode, maybe it did.
Could be. Well, or this is what they're training the AIs on, maybe.
Oh my God. No wonder they can't spell anything right or make words. Oh my God. Yeah, we fed only the second episode of My Pet Monster into our AI algorithm, and it's only putting out nonsense. That's a good point. Oh my God. Okay, so Monster's still scared, though. But he starts eating all the makeup anyway. He opens a certain makeup and a mouse jumps out of it. Again, this tour manager needs to be fired. And we have our Wile E. Coyote moment where the monster walks right over the trap. Beastar pulls the switch. Doesn't happen. He runs on top of it. He falls down into the trap door. But none of this insanity prepared me for what the final product would be. Chan, I'm around the 22-12 moment, which is good because it means we're, in theory, almost over.
We skipped a lot of the music, which is helpful.
I know. I want to hear as much of this performance as we can.
What? No, we already went to 22-12. I'm already gone.
I might have written the wrong time code down then.
Oh, too bad. The show ends at 22-20, so we're done. We're done.
No. I must have written down the wrong time code. I need to hear some of this song.
Everything's all right.
I'm wonderful.
fight this beast or learn to paint the ultimate in special effects.
Let's get this light show on the road. Bring up lights 4 and 6. Activate spots 1 and 3.
You got it.
Everything's all right.
Wait, stay still, and it's all thanks to you. Not me, them.
Come on tonight. Everything's all right.
He's like what happens when you let the drunk guy finally get on the mic at karaoke like 5 hours after it starts.
He's just talking. He's not even like trying to like any part of the rhythm of the song. He's just, it's all right. Just wow.
Everything's all right.
Like that's a song, I guess.
I guess. And they love it. The people of this town have no taste whatsoever. Apparently, near as I can tell, this is what the song sounds like without the monster singing it either, because they all seem to know it. But I was like, what a stage presence. This guy is swinging around. He's playing guitars, other people's guitars with his feet.
Hold on. I know nobody else is going to give a shit about this, but that dude is clearly playing a bass. There are only 4 tuning pegs, and there are 6 strings somehow on the thing. They could have just gone to the other dude and had him play there. But no, they had to offend me as an artist, as a technician, and as a goddamn bass player. I'm furious on so many levels at this cartoon.
I love that's where you drew the line.
I know. I do.
It's one of several lines I've had to draw, and I keep pushing it further. I have run out
Robert's
of
fully dissecting this as a music purist. Like, what the hell are these freaking animators doing getting all this stuff wrong?
And on top of it all, because they put children day of in charge of their tech.
And the pyrotechnics. Do not forget the dangerous pyrotechnics.
The light show overloads, blacking out the arena. This is the worst concert in history.
Until My Pet Monster grabs a guitar, which mysteriously is still powered, and then just goes off on an Eddie Van Halen type solo. Because, you know.
Oh, he shreds.
You can just pick up a guitar and play it. It's easy. Anybody can do it.
Can we hear some of the shredding? Because he honestly crushes it.
It's.
Look, musically, that was the best part of the episode.
Honestly, that one little segment there, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yep.
And then Beaster swings in, mistimes everything, because I guess he didn't plan this out very well, slams into the gong at the top of a stairwell that they have on stage, a stairway to nowhere but a gong, slams into it, and we're just playing the song again. I wrote, did they ever solve the power issue? That was quick. What is the internal reality of this?
What this is a Guar show. Because okay. They start fighting and running after each other on stage, the two monsters. The dudes just start playing, and I'm like, oh, well, I've seen this before. Now I'm just waiting for the sprays of blood and semen, as is normal in a Guar show.
You know, I'll say right now, Chan, I know you've been to many Guar shows over the days, right?
Indeed.
And I have, in fact, been to many insane clown posse shows over my lifetime. AJ, what's the wildest act you went to go see live in person?
I'm gonna fail this one, guys. I don't know if I've been into anything too crazy.
Did you go to a Burt Bacharach concert and just get dairy? I don't know.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I saw Jimmy Buffett once, and I had a margarita. It was wild. Okay, you know what? Fair enough. I put you on the spot. I was hoping there'd be a nugget there,
yeah,
but there wasn't. So we're moving on. You know what? Go see Insane Clown Posse while we all have a chance to. I'll just say that.
You don't have to do that.
What a great act. Chan, you've seen Insane Clown Posse, haven't you?
I have not. I have not had the joy of attending a jugulation. What is that thing called?
No, that's fine. A jugulation works better than anything I would have said. But I've probably gone to see him like 8 times.
I mean, the Guar one sounded more interesting to me. Who doesn't love to see blood and semen flying around everywhere?
Right?
Don't they get eaten by a worm on stage? Didn't that happen on Jerry Springer?
I'm sure on one of their tours they have.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
And it washes out. That's the important thing, is it washes out of your t-shirts.
If you're not wearing a black Guar t-shirt, what's wrong with you?
There are literally many people who wear white shirts.
Oh, okay.
So that they can go home with like all of the stuff sprayed all over.
Oh, it's like a badge of honor. All right. Okay. You know what? I'm getting it, Chan. I'm seeing the appeal.
What, you've never seen Robert in his splooge shirt?
You know what? Sadly, I have not, but now I need to.
Look,
Chan, you better wear it.
Yeah, I'll wear it right after I dress up as Dr. Mindbender.
Why not both? I'll say it right now.
Because Mindbender does not wear a shirt, for God's sakes.
Okay, you know what? You got me there. I walked right into it, and I was wrong, and I have to accept that. Look, all of a sudden they say, let's use the lighting equipment against Beaster, who's stunned on stage already. And I just wrote, what is this, Alan Wake all of a sudden? Why are we attacking people with spotlights? What? Is this the most inspirational show in history?
Yeah,
I've named like 9 video games that have directly ripped off this one episode of My Pet Monster.
Like vest is held together with a clothespin.
Why not? Why not at this point? Because if it flew open, we wouldn't want to see all that. Too much appeal. They decide to boost the sound. We're almost out of here. They decide to boost the sound to like, you know, over 9,000 so they can hurt the monster, their friend, but also they can hurt the Beaster as well, not their friend. They slap cuffs on Beaster, and then for reasons I don't fully understand, maybe I don't understand the mythos of this show, but they throw the same cuffs that turn you small and into a toy on Beaster, and then open a goddamn dimensional portal behind him and kick him to another realm. What the hell happened here?
And look at the monster's little face, too. He's like, ha-ha. Oh, this is curious.
I'm feeling aroused. Why would that be?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
and
I don't.
The handcuffs fly out right before. It closes back up.
Well, thank God we need to retrieve those. Yeah, I don't. Well,
there come all the groupies.
Yep.
And then monster, you look, the monster goes to Bone Town after this. Let's just keep it real.
Oh, there goes the shirt.
Exactly. Yeah, his vest goes flying off. He is running around topless through an alleyway, followed by hordes of girls who want to have sex with him. This is, you know what? I was wrong. I believe this is the start of furry culture.
Was that?
Thank you.
Well, is that accurate as far as the music stuff goes too? Did they get that right, Robert?
You know what? I'm one of them is carrying a keyboard. Is that what's happening here?
Surely you've had tons of groupies in your life, right?
Oh yeah, obviously. You've been a part of the furry scene for how long now?
I will say that I have played on stage shirtless, much like My Pet Monster.
Okay.
And the groupies weren't as forthcoming, I think, as they are in this. I'm gonna have to give this a 3 out of 10 on the accuracy meter.
Oh,
for a musician's life.
You know what? It got to 3. That already is a shocker. So all right. After the insanity we just saw, Mr. Hinkle captures the actual monster with a net on his walk home through an alleyway. Like, he wins. He got him.
He doesn't grasp that this is a completely different monster from the 3 he saw previously. The 3 who are dressed up in homemade werewolf costumes. This one is short, blue, horns, giant teeth, red hair, like red mohawk hair. And it's like, oh yeah, this is definitely the same monster I saw.
Same guy.
Where's the other one that looked exactly like you? Like,
now, where's the other one?
He thinks it's the same damn thing. It's the
same thing. Same thing, Chan. Who could tell? I'm starting to think this is also what inspired LASIK surgery.
Sure.
Look, now four werewolves appear at the end of the alley, and he's like, there's four of them now, let's get out of here. And he runs away because, you know, everything solves quickly here. And they say, hey, because it's not just the four kids standing in this alley with their pet monster. The entire world famous werewolves band is hanging out with them after the show, you know, like Drake does.
It's Legolas, Gimli, and Cousin It.
Oh my God, it is. And they say, we're so sorry, we wrecked your concert, which is the only correct thing they could say at this point. And the werewolves, I don't know if they're being kind, they're definitely not being truthful. They say, oh no, no, that was the best concert we've ever put on, which if I take them at face value, means that's the most together one of their shows has ever been.
Why are they still carrying the goddamn instruments?
We wouldn't know they were the band if they didn't have their instruments.
Wait, the Cousin It guy, he has legit real werewolf feet.
Oh, shit, like, he does.
That's not like, those aren't shoes.
Oh, shit, he is a damn werewolf.
And the furries werewolf don't have their knee pads anymore.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot to unpack here, guys. I mean, we probably don't have time.
We dig down into this. We should probably watch it again.
I'm realizing now that the Gimli member of the band is actually that Robert Redford meme where he nods at the camera. We got to get some. All right, I got to get some pictures for the patrons here at home. This is This is all just a lot. It's a lot for me. I'm sure a lot for Robert Clark Chan. It has to be a lot for Mr. AJ Porfirio. That is the end. That is the end of the episode. Nothing else happens. Thank God. AJ, what did you think of your first taste of My Pet Monster?
I'm glad that we had this time together to like detox on it together. And I feel like my sanity has returned. Thanks to that. That was special. That was special. Everyone needs to go. Now that you've heard us talk about it, you should definitely go watch it. It's amazing. Oh,
there's a link for this on the Patreon. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. Because
y'all need to be seeing this. Now, AJ, I have a proposition for you creatively. There were 13 episodes of My Pet Monster. Are you prepared to start with me and Robert Clark Chan a podcast only talking about My Pet Monster for 13 episodes? We're going to be completionist about it. Are you on board?
Oh boy.
Just watching this whole thing, I was like sure that this was the series finale and it never made it past this episode. Like I was like,
they wrapped up all of the plots. So
yeah, like this was it. This was the last episode. There's no way there's more after this. So I'm going to politely decline, but I appreciate that offer.
I'm shocked to hear you say that.
It's very much how I perceive Metallica's career. They made Injustice for All and then never made another album ever again.
Wow, how about that?
I want to do the baseball cartoon, and then I can do what Robert was doing, like for the musician stuff, and I could just like,
oh right,
yeah, I can just go ham on like how inaccurate it is.
Oh, see, that's a treat all in of itself. But that is the end of this episode, ladies and gentlemen. AJ Porfirio, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Any last things to shout out or anything before we get out of here today?
Like I said, check out vanridergames.com if not familiar with us, and check our games out. It'd be great. And appreciate you guys having me on. Always a blast.
Absolutely. Robert Clark Chan, anything you want to plug?
No.
Yeah, I don't really have anything going on either. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. Definitely, I think this is an episode that's going to... people want to talk about this after they see it. I will say that. I think detox was the best way you could have possibly said that, AJ. This is...
They're going to...
a lot.
They're going to cover this with your therapist, and then they'll come to the Discord.
So we don't often throw our guests, first-timers, into the deep end. Nor did I think actually we were doing it here, but we did.
This is
the Rubik indeed. Of the Amazing Cube of a level of episode. Chan, back me up.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you soon enough. Go play some Final Girl. Have a great night.
He's always playing scary tricks, but I know that's okay. Because he's just having lots of fun in his own monster way. He loves to munch on garbage. He'll even eat the can. If this sounds gross, please understand.
He's my best friend. My pet monster. My very, very bestest friend. My pet monster. A monster of a friend. A monster of a friend.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming. And we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss and I'm playing my Pokemon and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me.
Oh my god!
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.